Good morning. It is December 6th, and I welcome you to the First Presbyterian Church of Westerville, Ohio, as we live stream this service this morning. We are a congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA and a member of the Presbytery of Scioto Valley. We are located at 41 West College Avenue in Uptown Westerville. I'm the Reverend Mark Gowan. I'm the pastor here at First Presbyterian. I will be leading worship today along with Heather Hicks, who is our liturgist this morning, and will be lighting the Advent candles. We have Lynn Meyer playing the organ and Robin Bucer singing for us as well. Our especially for children this morning will be led by Heather and will be include lighting the Advent candles, which you are invited to do at home while she does it here during the early part of our worship service. If you are visiting with us this morning, I invite you to post a note on our Facebook page so that we know that you were here. And if you would like to learn more about our church, you may contact the church via Facebook or by calling our church office at 614-882-3155. We are glad that you are worshiping with us this morning. And if you are watching this service live, you are invited to join our Zoom coffee hour, which begins immediately following the service, and a link to the coffee hour has been posted on our Facebook page. We do have several announcements this morning to share, one of which is that the flowers this morning are given by Teresa Putnam in memory of Roy Putnam. I want to thank everyone who helped with our fall church work day yesterday. We had 13 hearty souls raking the leaves and doing other fall cleanup activities. This coming Friday, December 11th, is the 10th annual Westerville Habitat for Humanity Progressive Christmas Concert, which this year will be held virtually. The concert video will be presented at 7 p.m. this Friday on the Westerville Habitat website. You will be able to watch it then or any time after that posting. The program should be about an hour in length, and no tickets are necessary, but donations are welcome to help fund future Habitat houses. Next Saturday, December 12th, is John and Glenna Cameron's 50th wedding anniversary, and they're inviting everyone to a drive-by celebration on Sunday, December 13th from 1 to 2 p.m. Church members and friends are invited to drive by their home, honk, and congratulate them on this special milestone. Heather Hicks has asked me to remind parents that the pageant videos are due this coming Wednesday, and you can send them by email to her. Now let us begin our worship with the music of the prelude. Thank you.
please join me in the call to worship? A tiny jewel of light dances on the horizon. A solitary star before the sunrise glimmers, a promise of dawn at the beginning, at the end of the world's blight. It is the light of the Word, Emmanuel, God with us, the promised one. We now await the dawn and the coming of the Christ child. We have seen the Savior's light, and we await his coming. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in pitch dark lands, light has dawned. Will you light the Advent candles with me? Today, we have lit the candle of peace. And as the reading I just read talks about, the people have been walking in darkness. Now, when we think about darkness, we often think of it being pitch black. We can't see very well. We're kind of stumbling around trying to find our way. And then what happens when we turn the light on? For some of us, we want to stagger back and go, oh my goodness, that's just way too much. But the prophet Isaiah isn't talking about that kind of darkness in this passage of scripture that I read for today. Because you see, Isaiah is talking about something that's not visual, but something that's going on inside. You see, the people of Israel have really had a rough time, probably even rougher than what we have it now, because we still, a lot of us, have the same homes, we still live in the same place, but they had been taken away from their homeland. They were kicked out, they were made very poor in their communities they were currently living in, and they felt like they were away from God. They felt like they were far away from God. And so God said, I am going to bring peace to you. And that's what Isaiah is talking about by the light, that God is offering them the light of God's Spirit, and that their situation is going to be turned around. So when we think of this, we think about peace and the coming of God's peace in the form of Jesus Christ. And we're getting closer to Christmas now. We've lit our second candle. And we remember that peace has to start somewhere. And it always starts right in here. So if we are living in darkness and we feel like we're far away from God, we need to get close to God and pray, read our Bibles, maybe talk to our parents. But we need to reach for that light to see if there's even just a tiny little spark like our candles here. So I pray that you and your families will find peace this Advent season. Let's go to God in prayer. Almighty and loving God, we thank you for the gift of light, because light shows us that even when we're in our darkest times, even when we're struggling, you are there with us. All we have to do is light that candle, flip on the light switch, ask our parents, pray to you, read our Bibles. We just thank you, O God, that you have given us so many tools to reach toward your light. May it bring peace to all of our lives. Amen. Let us hear now another passage from Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. And like our Advent reading, it speaks of peace. Comfort, oh, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out, and I say, what shall I cry? All people are grass, their consistency is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead the mother sheep. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O Lord God, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Scripture, and as we ponder its meaning this morning, we ask that your Spirit guide my words and all of our thoughts. Amen. The other day, I was walking around uptown Westerville with my four-year-old grandson. And when we decided that we were getting a little cold, so we stopped by the church building to warm up. We went downstairs here in the fellowship room so that he could run around a bit. And while we were there, my grandson said, "Remember when we used to have parties down here?" Boy, do I remember. And I remember when we used to have worship services and Christmas pageants and all sorts of other things in this church building. But those things aren't happening this year. And I remember the other things that aren't happening this Christmas season, Christmas concerts and the Nutcracker Ballet and neighborhood parties and gift exchanges with the office staff and trips to visit families and friends, and a dozen other things that used to be regular occurrences every holiday season. They aren't happening this year. There is a sadness overlaying this otherwise joyful season, and the pandemic has seen to that. And yet sadness has always been part of the holiday season. For many, the holidays bring back the pain of loss, the loss of loved ones who've died, the pain of children growing up and moving away, the pain of relationships that are strained and even broken. It has always been the case, and the holidays have always amplified those losses and the sadness people feel at this time of year. Only this year, all of us are losing what we remember fondly as part of the holidays. And then to add to this, there is the very real loss that many are experiencing this holiday season as more and more people come down with the virus. We all have friends, work colleagues, neighbors, even family members who have contracted the virus. Some come through it quite easily and move on, but others have lingering effects, and there is a fear that they will never get back to normal. And of course, some don't come through it at all, and death adds extra sadness to this holiday season. And then there are those who just recently contracted the disease, and we who know them sit by worrying and wondering, will that person be all right? And then there are the extended effects of the pandemic on our society. We have had to change our habits, adjust to a new reality. We have had to worry about our jobs, about businesses. The whole pandemic process has put us at odds with strangers and even our neighbors and sometimes even family members. The news is always changing. One day things are getting better and the next day they are getting worse. One day the game is on, the next day the game is canceled. One day a cure is close and the next day it is further away. As one commentator called it, we are experiencing emotional whiplash as we try to deal with the constantly changing pandemic world. We are told that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and yet we still have a lot of tunnel left to travel through. Perhaps that is why the words of Isaiah 40 hit me strongly this year. The passage is one that is often read in the Advent season, for it is one of those passages that points to the coming of God into the world. But this year, when I sat down to read this passage in preparation for this sermon, the very first words struck me in a new way. Comfort, O comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. The people are suffering, and there is grief and sadness and a sense of hopelessness in their world. And into this, the prophet is given a charge to comfort the people, to comfort God's people. The words of the prophet spoke directly to me this year, as I needed the comfort of my God, I needed the tender word. The context of this section of Jeremiah is important to note. Isaiah was told to prophesy to the people of Jerusalem after they had been conquered by the Babylonians and many of them taken into exile back to Babylon. They were uprooted from their homeland. They were slaves in their new land. They had lost their connection to God. They needed words, words that the prophet was charged to proclaim. Methodist theologian Elaine Brown Crawford wrote a book about African American women in the time of slavery in our country. In the book, she discusses the abuse and oppression that these women suffered, but also highlights the resilient hope that these slave women held that allowed them to persist despite all that was happening, all that they had to endure. The hope that they held on to was translated into the stories that they told each other and their children. Stories based on their trust in a faithful God who would see them through. It was this hope that formed a bridge between the suffering that they were going through and the liberation they yearned for. It was in these stories that they could look past their current circumstances to what God would make possible. In many ways, our passage from Isaiah this morning does the same thing. The words of this passage form a bridge for the exiled people from the devastation of their current situation to the promise of God's future. The prophet is challenging them to cease their focus on what they have left behind and to rejoice about where God has promised to take them. The prophet calls on them to imagine the possibilities of the future, the city rebuilt, the livelihoods thriving, a restored relationship with God, who is both strong enough to conquer and loving enough to carry them like a shepherd. Advent has always been about shifting our focus from where we are to where God is leading us. Presbyterian author Valerie Lipscomb was recently interviewed on how to be faithful during the pandemic, and she said, "I think it is really important to keep going back to the basics of our faith. We are not in control. We're not supposed to be, right? And we need to remind ourselves that it is God who is in control. But at the same time, it is also okay to acknowledge and accept our fear and our anger and our normal human response to that, but to just keep recentering ourselves on our faith." Advent is about recentering ourselves on our faith. This may be the central task of Advent, especially this year. By recentering and refocusing, we begin to change our outlook on things. Bishop Woody White once preached a sermon at a funeral of a beloved church member where he talked about the difference between leaving and going. Bishop White talked about leaving in terms of departing. He illustrated the pain of leaving with the sadness a parent might feel when they prepare a child for leaving home to go to college or into the army, or the anxiety one might feel in leaving one job for another, or the pain of losing a beloved someone with the words, "She has left us." Leaving, according to Bishop White, focuses on the person of the place that will no longer be part of their immediate context, whose immediate access we are no longer privy to. Leaving often invokes a sadness or a sense of loss on our part. But then Bishop White transposed the word leaving into the word going. Going, he said, points to a destination. Going is a word of hope. When parents' language changes from "my child is leaving home" to "my child is going to college," there's a change in the tenor of the voice to one of expectation and promise. Likewise, White says, the pain and hopelessness of death of a loved one is softened by the knowledge that, yes, the dear one has left us, but he is going to be with the Lord. The sense of destination elicits hope and comforts. He points out that God's word offers us hope even in the midst of difficult situations, which is the point of Isaiah as well. Isaiah invites us to refocus our view of the world, especially now in our pandemic world. We are grieving over all the things we don't have this Advent season. Things that have left us. People who have left us or are left separated from us. And yet God continues to point to where we are going. God tells us that there will be valleys and hills and rough passages and crooked places. And our life will be filled with them. Adversity and pain and trial are part of life's journey. Yet even in the midst of life's difficulties, God claims us as God's own. God tells us, comfort, comfort, oh comfort my people. Advent is our time to be reminded that Jesus is our hope in the midst of our adversities of life. And this year, I think it is especially important that we heed these words. Amen.
Good news, I say good news, for you are highly
we come together this morning, this is our pledge dedication Sunday, and I want to thank all who have made pledges to our 2021 budget year, pledges to our part of the planning process for the church, and today we dedicate them. So let us pray. O God, your importance in our lives is reflected in our gifts, in our pledges. We return to you through the ministry and outreach of this church a portion of all that you have entrusted to us. We promise that these pledges and the offerings they represent will not be the end of our giving. We will also invest our time and our abilities in your work of healing, comforting, teaching, guiding, and proclaiming. Bless each gift, whatever the size, and multiply the good to be done through our time, talents, and treasures. Amen. And as a community of faith, we work together and we pray together. And as we do, we lift up those who are in particular need of prayer. We want to include Bill Eaves in our prayers, who suffered a broken leg a little over a week ago and had to have surgery to help pin it back together. We continue our prayers for the family of Beth Drisling, who died a few weeks ago. We hold Eric Fredrickson in our prayers, who is home from the hospital. We've gotten word that one of the residents of Bogota House has COVID, and so we pray for all the residents and staff of that facility. We continue our prayers for Sue Lample's daughter, Jeannie, for the family of Dorothy Butts, for Betty Gillum. Continue prayers for Gary Harvey as he begins a new course of cancer treatment. We continue to prayers for the family of David Cameron and all the others within the church and in the community who are in need of your love. Let us begin with a moment of silent prayer, and then I will lead in our common prayers. Let us pray. Lord, hear our prayers. Lord, how wrong we have been to act as if Christ had never been born, as if he didn't perform miracles, as if he didn't take our every tear, our daily worries, our sin and our insecurities on that cross, as if the tomb wasn't empty and the throne wasn't full of his presence and grace. It is that grace that gives meaning and power to your promises. And we know that your word prevails even when our world turns black. We trust that your healing comes in different forms and stages and ways, and we believe that you promise to provide all that we need. Seeking you doesn't require physical vision, complete health, or a life free of troubles, but instead a heart full of devotion and obedience, which we offer to you. No matter how many Advents sweep by, O Lord, your reminders remain the same. We are transformed. Lord, in a season when every heart should be happy and light, many of us are struggling with the heaviness of life, the burdens that steal the joy right out of our lives. And so we need your peace, Jesus. We confess that our hearts are too often filled with the wonder of a different kind. The wonder of when the bills will be paid, the wonder when wars will stop, wonder when the pandemic will be over. O Lord God, in a worry where worry, not peace, prevails, stir up that good news again. Lord God, we thank you for the gift of Jesus, our Emmanuel, the Word made flesh. And it is because of Jesus we offer up these prayers on behalf of all those whom we mentioned this morning, whether they be out loud or in our hearts. May you touch and offer comfort to each this morning. For you, Lord, are King of Kings, and we celebrate this Advent. O Lord God, we offer these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, we now come to this table, for here is the meal we receive, that in it we receive a foretaste of things eternal. You are invited to join the fellowship of this table when you are fearful, so that you might be made new in love. You are invited to the fellowship of this table when you are doubtful, to be made strong in faith. You are invited to the fellowship of this table when you are regretful, so that you might be made whole again. The fellowship of this table is for everyone, and there is room for all, and it extends beyond the limits of this room into each and every one of our homes. I invite you now to join me. Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts, we lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is good to give our thanks and praise. It is truly right, and our greatest joy to give you, O Lord, thanks and praise. You formed us in your image. Breathe into us the breath of life. You set us in this world to love and serve you and to live in peace with all that you have made. When we have turned from you, you did not turn from us. When we were captives in slavery, you delivered us to freedom and made covenants to be our sovereign God. When we were stubborn and stiff-necked, you spoke to us through prophets who looked for that day. Justice shall triumph, and peace shall reign over all the earth. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. You sent him into the world to satisfy the longings of your people for a Savior, to bring freedom to the captives of sin, and to establish justice for the oppressed. He came among us as one of us. We rejoice that in his death and rising again, you set before us the sure promise of new life, a certain hope of a heavenly home where we will sit at a table with Christ our Lord. Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this cup and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, Lord Jesus, until you come in glory. Gracious God, pour your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast. Through Christ, with Christ, in unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And so it is that we remember, follow the commands of Christ. We gather at this table, remembering that Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples, when he took the bread, and there, after having given thanks, broke it, and said, This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And so we do as Christ commands. And I invite all to partake of the bread in your own home, in your own home. and drink this cup and proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. And so again, doing as Christ commands, I invite you all to partake of your cup. Ourselves